The higher they climbed, the cleaner the air became. Ryan turned in the saddle to look back down the trail, seeing that there was a floating carpet of reddish-orange that marked the upper limits of the pollution. JB was at his side, and the two old friends considered the industrialized landscape, unlike anything that either of them had ever seen anywhere in Deathlands.
It's dying.
The people are dying, too. Those who live in the Vale are better off, a little distance off from the worst of the lung-burning, blinding fumes.
I can see that Hideyoshi's looking worried about us getting left behind. We better move it.
Soon the procession stood motionless on a high plateau, facing a steeper section of the hill that would take them up and over the ridge. The trail was only about 10 feet across at its widest, barely enough for the carts to pass through.
This is the only track across the mountain to see.
Looks more narrow ahead.
Wags stay here. We'll camp here for the night. Go on at dawn.
Why not build a proper road, if there's much traffic between the sea and there?
Oh, earthquakes just knock it down again. Lucky there hasn't been one since we started. This area famous for bad ones. They happen almost every day.
Nashashigo was walking past them, leading his own stallion.
This is a true thing. All the bravery and cunning that we show is undone by the gods that sleep beneath the mountains and far out under the waters. Near the top of the trail, it becomes very dangerous, and many have died. There is a sheer drop to sharp rocks and fast river. One wrong step?
His long, narrow hands described a diving motion in the air in front of him. Blanket and sleeping rolls were handed out from the wags, and a number of large cooking fires were lit all around the rocky open space. Iron pots of rice were heated, steaming in the cold night air, along with flavorsome soups that contained shredded eggs.
Ugh, fish. More poisonous metals and chemicals wrapped in scales.
Dot looked towards Yashimoto, who was walking past with a couple of the other senior samurai.
Excuse me, any meat cooking?
Meat?
Foolish old Gaijin grandmother.
Meat is for warriors, for men. You may have water and cold rice.
Doc uncoiled from the ground. Towering over the scar-faced second-in-command, he drew the first couple of inches of the rapier that was concealed in the ebony cane.
You have got a peculiarly large mouth to counterbalance that amazingly small mind, Yashimoto.
Yashimoto's hand gripped the inlaid ivory and jade hilt of his sword.
I could slay you with a single breath. But you are the guest of Lord Mashashiga.
First truthful thing you said. Your breath stinks so much of garlic and rotting fish that it could slay anyone at 50 paces. Bring the birds dead out of the branches of trees as you ride by.
What?
I am sorry. I am probably speaking too fast for you. I have noticed that your grasp of English is poorer than the most foolish geisha.
Yashimoto went crimson with anger, the knuckles on his hand holding the sword as white as wind-washed bone. Ryan had been sitting watching, and he realized that Doc had pushed the man over the brink. No social command was going to stop Yashimoto from attacking Doc with his longer, heavier sword. Ryan stood, drawing his Sig Sauer, and stepped in close to the enraged samurai. He held up the automatic where the samurai couldn't fail to see it.
Another move and you're dead. Sheathe the sword and walk away from it.
For a heart-stopping moment, Ryan thought that the man's irrational sense of dishonor was going to make him go ahead and slash at Doc, which would mean that Ryan would squeeze the trigger and blow the side of Yashimoto's head into a mist of blood and bones. But the samurai pasted on a smile, looking as convincing as a friendly coyote, and bowed to Ryan.
So sorry there has been trouble between us. I am sure that it will soon be over.
He bowed again.
Yes, very soon over.
And then Yashimoto moved on. It was one of the best defended night camps that Ryan had ever known. Even Trader at his best, with the resources of both war wags to draw on, couldn't have done any better. Takai Yashimoto was in charge, and although Ryan didn't want to admit it, the second-in-command was doing a good job. There were three layers of sentries, the first of them nearly a half mile off toward the north, in the direction of the ocean and the supposed camp of the Ronin. The second circle of guards was between 200 and 300 yards off, and a third ring of sect warriors was within 100 paces of the heart of the camp. Some of the samurai had their own tents, but Mashashiga himself slept on the ground along with his men, wrapped in a single, simple blanket. There was a black banner of silk flying at the center of the camp, with a Stark symbol embroidered in white that Hideyoshi had told Ryan was simply the name and rank of the Shogun Mashashiga.
I've never known a Baron who was as humble as he is. No flash about him. No pearl-handled matching colts. No tent bigger than the others. No silver inlaid saddle.
This is part of the code of Bushido. Some flaunt their wealth and power. But there are men like Mashashiga who choose the opposite path.
Doc ate from a wooden bowl of shredded beef cooked with sliced chilies.
It puts me somewhat in mind of the two great war leaders who faced each other at the famous Battle of the Little Bighorn.
Ah, that was a General Custa. We learn of him in our schools. He was most famous loser in American history.
Can't argue with you there. Unless we take Tricky Dicky into account. But General George Armstrong Custer was the boy hero. Star-touched Autie. Tailored buckskins and fancy guns. Matched hunting dogs. Golden hair tumbling over his shoulders. Always out front, showing off his wealth and power. He was up against Crazy Horse. War leader of, I think it was the Oglala. Similar age and reputation. But Crazy Horse owned only one horse. Gave the others away. Wore the simplest clothes. Carried plain weapons. Custer believed honor came from outside. Crazy Horse thought it came from within.
And they both died. But one is remembered as a victor, and the other as a man who rode arrogant and grinning to his death, sucking down his whole command with him. There is no defeat like victory. And victory can be no defeat at all. That is what we say.
The night passed pleasantly enough. In the morning, the Shogun walked over to his guests, eyeing J.B. Smith & Wesson M4000 scattergun.
This fires the small knives. No, not knives. What is the word for the very small arrows?
Flechettes.
No, that is not the word that I mean.
Darts?
Ah, that is it. Is this a good gun?
Does a special kind of job.
But it has little honor to it. And it is useless at a range of 100 paces or more. Our bows can slay at a quarter mile, Mr. Dix.
Ryan's Steyr rifle here can chill at the best part of a mile. And this blaster can wipe men away at short range. And the Uzi could stop a cavalry charge.
So could my archers.
Sure, wouldn't argue. But it would take 50 or so bowmen to have the same kind of effect that one man with an Uzi and 3 spare mags could have.
We must agree to disagree.
Mashashiga looked at Ryan.
If the need arises when we reach the home of our enemy, will you use your guns on our side?
He hadn't actually thought that one through. The warlord had such a large force that it hadn't occurred to Ryan that a situation might arise where their firepower could be of much use to Mashashiga.
I guess that we're your guests, so that puts us under an obligation to help you.
The Shogun nodded and gave the one-eyed man a low bow. He then stalked off toward the horses.
Our Baron, right or wrong. You sure about this, lover?
No. Mashashiga might be a swift and evil bastard, and his enemies, these Ronin, might be saints in human form. But we don't know.
So you'll chill them if Mashashiga asks you?
You got a better idea, Christy? Fireblast. It's difficult enough to try and pick the difference between right and wrong back home in Deathlands. Never mind in this crazed place.
The trail ahead wound higher up before it leveled off, then began to drop quickly toward the distant sea. The warnings about the state of the track had been justified. It cut across the face of the mountain, where erosion and quake damage were all too obvious to Ryan as he heeled his reluctant pony along, nearing the highest point of the climb. The land dropped away almost sheer to his left, and the trail was so narrow that there was barely room for one pony at a time to pick its sure-footed way along. Below Ryan was a singing chasm of sheer black stone that glistened in the early morning mist. Spray rose out of the gorge several 100 feet below, where it was possible to glimpse a silvery ribbon of river. Jack was riding directly behind Ryan.
Good place for an ambush.
Yeah.
Mashashiga had split his force, sending some of his own elite samurai ahead as scouts, following them with a third of his foot soldiers. Christy and Mildred had suffered the openly lustful stares of the Japanese as they rode their own ponies, perched on the saddles with the high pommels, kicking them on to keep close behind Ryan and the others. Yashimoto and Hideyoshi were also riding just behind the outlanders. Their shogun had gone ahead with his samurai.